This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker in an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. I am Mr. Michael Dean, broadcasting from a windowless bunker in Beast Lick, Wyoming. And on the other end of the inner tubes, we have Mr. Bill Buepert. Are you safe? Are you there? Have you been contacted by the government, sir?
I'm right here, and I'm contacted by the government every day, but I'm ready to join in the crusade with Michael Dean to philosophically terraform the planet one disobedient serf at a time and give you all the Ebola you can stand.
Are you in the Mountain West or are you in the desert flat West?
Yes.
Yes. In an undisclosed location. We're not even going to say what state area you're in. You're out there.
Actually, we could say I'm in the inland West, the same as you are. But I'm far more south than you are.
Yeah. Well, your internet cuts out once in a while, so mine doesn't anymore. I've gone to great precautions, and I'm not going to ask you to do that because it cost me like $450 to set up, and it's going to cost me like $500 a year more. But I have unstoppable internet now, Bill.
You'll have to send me or post that on the Freedom Fiends Facebook or the website how you did that. And I also wanted to draw to the audience's attention that Michael Dean has also done a 90-minute how to do a podcast primer that I was honored enough by him to take a look at in its formative stages. And it is a rockin' solution to a consistent problem out there.
Thank you. And that's at creamyradioaudio.com, which is our free help out everybody to sound as good as we do. Because we're not like most shows. We're a teaching hospital. Most shows are like, I'm the expert and you're the audience and you're going to listen. And we're more like, hey, we're just people who like to talk, and a lot of people like to talk, and we would like as many people as possible talking about these concepts, and we will tell you how to do it and how to sound good. So go to creamyradioaudio.com. And yes, Bill did give me notes. That's what they say in Hollywood, like when someone looks at a script and tells you how to change it. He gave me notes. Yes.
Hey, I'm one of the interns in his teaching hospital, so there it is.
Yeah, but you can teach us things. You have a better brain than I do. You just you're just learning more about the ins and outs of speaking into a microphone on a show clock. I mean, you've pretty much mastered it. You're ready to go start your own show.
Yeah, but I didn't pickle my brain in my youth as much as you did.
That's because you were busy working for Uncle Sam, and you don't like it when I say this because you're modest, but before anyone thinks Bill is some unkempt hippie who made his living selling incense at Grateful Dead shows, no, Bill Buepert from ZeroGov.com, right?
And the publisher of ZeroGov. And Limited Government, Unicorns, and Other Mythological Creatures.
Yes, that's the unicorn book. Is a retired army officer who left, you know, under good graces, was not kicked out, and they like him. What was your position in the U.S. military, Bill Buepert?
I was an intelligence officer most of my time, and I spent a lot of time in special operations forces units, airborne units, light infantry units, and conducted both conventional warfare and irregular warfare operations.
And then also taught that, right?
I did, yeah. Indeed.
What was your rank?
It was a captain when I retired because I am prior enlisted, which means that I was a Mustang, so I jumped from the enlisted ranks and got my commission.
I don't know what that means, but it sure sounds impressive.
Well, those in your audience who have been in the military, have friends or family in the military, will understand. And all it means is that one needs a college degree for the most part to get a commission and become a commissioned officer in the armed forces in the U.S. And I was enlisted at first, got out, stayed in the reserves, went to college. Then I fetched a commission in the U.S. Army, and I retired in 03.
Cool. So you can do a lot of stuff, and you're not doing that anymore. You're in the mental militia, the militia of ideas, aren't you?
I am indeed. Like I said earlier, you and I, along with our colleagues in the Liberty Movement, as it were, are trying to take abolition to its next stage, which is all the questions asked by abolitionists in the 19th century in America, where they said, people shouldn't own black people. You and I are simply taking the black out of that sentence.
Yeah, because there's pretty much soft slavery of every tax cattle in America, which is every citizen, everybody who works, everybody, even non-citizens. I mean, even if you, you know, if you are on the land that is owned by the United States, you are a tax cattle.
Can I hear an amen?
Yeah, I suggested recently that, well, there were a couple meetings. I guess you missed the memo. We changed the name of the Liberty Movement. It's now called the Liberty Mission. I thought we sent you a memo on that. Didn't we send you a cable?
You didn't send me the cable, but it may still be on its way, winging its way to me.
Well, you know, if it's going over government networks, they have to vet it at every pier.
Yes.
Yep. And yeah. So we're going to talk about Ebola or Ebola. Ebola is what the Freedom Fiends spread. It's a good kind of disease that spreads through your ears and makes you better, makes you stronger. It doesn't kill you and it makes you stronger. But Bill's going to talk about Ebola. But first, I'm going to answer your question of how I got internet that is more solid. So basically, I have a cable internet service like most people in America. You know, I get it bundled with my TV and my phone. And they're vastly overselling it where I live, which means that between 8 p.m. and midnight in my area, it slows to a crawl because cable shares its fast speed with all your neighbors. And if they're all using it for big files or porn or movies on Netflix, it slows you down. But DSL, which is the old technology that cable practically replaced, still is dedicated. It's a slow, pretty slow speed compared to cable, but your neighbors using it doesn't slow it down. So and I should have done this before, even without the slowdowns I'm having, because, you know, once in a while an ice storm takes out one wire and I don't have internet. So just to be totally solid, I got a second internet connection from a different company, and it's DSL, not cable. And then I got a super duper big boy router, and both internet inputs, both, you know, the cable and the DSL both go into the router. And then all of my everything that runs on the internet goes into that router. And then I had a guy who's really, really smart, who we're doing ads for him now, Link Porterfield. He remotely from his location, like, I let him take over my desktop and configure it. So basically, the Skype and the Comrex connecting to the network always go through the DSL connection. Everything else always goes through the cable connection. Unless one of the connections is cut or knocked out, then within 5 seconds, it switches everything over to the other connection.
Oh, how neat.
Yep, it's pretty solid. It costs more money, but that's the way to do it. And that's,
well, you know what they say, if you have a $10 head, get a $10 helmet.
Yep, and we have a better than a $10 show. So we have a $99 show. I think that's what the whole show is worth. So, but Bill's going to improve the value of it tonight. He's going to give some value added observations on Ebola, and I'm just going to listen because I don't know much about it. So Bill's going to tell us.
Well, you told me that you're going to have somebody who is far more expert than I am come here and discuss this, and I'm looking forward to that. But what Ebola basically is, it's a viral hemorrhagic fever. It's like the Lassa fever virus, the Rift Valley fever, the Marburg virus, the Bolivian hemorrhagic fever. They're all variations on this virus. These viruses are plagues. They're pandemics. They can become pandemics, which simply means when it assumes a kind of disease vector that takes over large swaths of a population and either maiming them or rendering them dead. For instance, we're big cat fans here on the Fiends, and everybody was taught in government school, if they attended government schools, that the bubonic plague was caused by rats. Well, the bubonic plague was caused by rats as a primary disease vector, but the reason for that is because 100 years before, the Catholic Church, under a pope, declared a war on cats. As a result of that war on cats, they eradicated large populations of cats who were the apex predator for the vermin, known as rats, who spread the bubonic plague. So in some ways, we can blame a lot of these pandemics not only on the fact that viruses mutate and adapt over time, but silly notions of what should exist, what we can do in the human condition. You know, there was a plague of Athens in 430 BC that reduced both their soldiery and their population by a quarter over 4 years, and it may have led to the Athenians assuming a junior partnership to the Spartans and others until the Romans took over the entire peninsula 700 years later. You look at influenza in 1918 and the number of people that that killed in America. You can look at the Hong Kong flu, which is a variation of this. You can look at the Asian flu. What the United States government and the West likes to do is reflag diseases once they claim they're eradicated. Everybody's been taught that polio is eradicated, right?
Yeah.
Polio has not been eradicated. They simply reflagged it and labeled it as meningitis. Now, meningitis doesn't, and some variations of encephalitis. While these two things don't have the kind of pandemic proportions of mortality that were experienced in the 40s and before in America, they still take a fair toll on folks. The interesting thing about this whole Ebola scare is no one quite knows how this virus is going to evolve. As a matter of fact, scientists don't really know what viruses are, how they behave for the most part, and have very poor predictive analysis when it comes to the adaptation and mutation of viruses. Viruses, though, are very much like the state and very much like government. They want to maintain their power and expand their power and find new hosts in order to expand that power and make themselves stronger, more powerful than they were in previous variations. There's been talk now of the Ebola virus going airborne. It's a possibility. What we do know, though, for a fact, is that viruses do mutate, viruses evolve, and viruses do adapt. It's one reason why vaccination, I don't vaccinate my family, we haven't with all five of my children, is because you're vaccinating against what is most likely an 18 to 24 month old virus that came out of a lab that was contracted by the U.S. government to provide these vaccines, which, by the way, when you look at the R&D merry-go-round that they're on, the vaccine is treating a virus that is probably 5 years old. Very ineffective. But here's the only thing everybody needs to know about how the government's going to handle what happened with this. The CDC came out today, and they reportedly confirmed that they gave Ebola patient Amber Vinson, the nurse, permission to fly on a commercial plane Monday. Now, I don't need to say anything else. I think that says it all. You can extrapolate everything you need to know about the government's competence in handling communicable diseases.
And we'll be back with more from Bill Buepert on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the free market.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends talking with Bill Buepert. The topic is Ebola. I know nothing about it. I wanted Bill to clarify. What did you mean when you said that polio is Ebola?
Well, let's go back to this whole thing. If you look at the history of the polio vaccine, it took them 2 hours to determine that the FDA would approve this alleged vaccine that they used because it showed the efficacy that they thought it would be for the antibody response. The whole thing that I'm trying to get across to everybody is that don't trust the government to do the right thing. Don't trust the government when they tell you they've solved a crisis. And don't trust them when they come out with this magic formulation that says, look, we've eradicated polio. Because remember that this whole polio vaccine business is the foundational story narrative that gave us the modern vaccination meme as it is today. That's where it all started.
What do you mean by the modern meme of vaccination, of it being an accepted thing that you just do without question?
Exactly, because, you know, there were vaccines that were supposedly responsible for the decline in polio from 1955 to 1961. But I think there's a more sinister reason for this decline in polio, because in 1955, a very creative redefinition of the poliovirus infection was invented to cover the fact that in many cases, this could be called, let's say, unifactorial poliovirus infection or meningitis or any number of things like that. This could be with cholera, spinal meningitis, spinal apoplexy, all of these kind of things. And I would urge your audience to research this. And the question you're going to ask yourself is, was polio eradicated by the vaccine that was approved in a two-hour period of time by the FDA, which is unheard of? And did that actually take care of? Because there's such a thing as diagnostic symptom bundles that doctors use to assign what you have. If you have a cold, do you meet the standards of these 10 things that would be symptomatic of you having a cold? Do you have the flu? Do you have Ebola? Do you have hemorrhagic fever? Do you have polio? Do you have meningitis? Do you have encephalitis? They've got, with all of those under that rubric, they have these little bundles of diagnoses and symptoms under which, well, he's got 6 of the 10 or he's got 8 of the 10. So we're going to call it this for now until we find out otherwise. The reason why I'm personally interested in this, Michael, is because I've suffered chronic fatigue syndrome all my life, and that's what led me to study this, because they have also flagged polio as chronic fatigue syndrome.
Polio also is not eradicated. It's commonly called eradicated, but even according to the CDC, there have been cases in Africa. There were, in 2013, reports of 183 cases of polio in Somalia, 14 in Kenya, and 8 in the Somali region of Ethiopia. So apparently it's not completely.
I'm not surprised at all. And of course, I think that that's right. And I think that underreporting is severe in all of this, especially in developing and third world countries.
I think a lot of it, too, is that governments love to say we have solved a problem and it's gone forever. Well, you know, I mean,
I agree with you. And another reason they say that, Michael, is because they want to engender this faith in their ability to come up with a solution set that private markets supposedly can't.
Yeah, I think that, I seem to remember as a kid being told that polio was dead and was gone. Do you remember that? Was it that
I
far
do.
Back?
Of yeah. course it was. You look at the March of Dimes advertising campaigns, you look at what they did during the skull crushing in the government indoctrination camps known as government schools. So, sure.
Do you think
we were there?
Do you think, this is a really touchy question, but do you think that not only the United States and other governments may be using the Ebola scare based on some actual cases to take things over and have more control, but do you think it's anything more sinister than that, like actually maybe infecting people? Or because I've heard that.
No, I don't. I don't think there's any evidence for it, but will Good. They use this crisis to expand their government power? Yes.
Yeah. I guess my whole take on the thing is the same as the Ben Stone, the bad Quaker take. His attitude on chemtrails and was 9/11 caused by the United States government? He and I both believe that governments do things like that and have throughout history and continue to. But we don't believe that a lot of what is presented as evidence is enough to make me religiously say, yes, 9/11 was caused by the government, or yes, they're spraying aluminum particles on us. What he calls it is blurry pictures with red arrows on them. And I am astonished at how many people absolutely believe those two things based on things that are basically blurry pictures with red arrows on them. And we're a little smarter and more skeptical than that. Right? Worms. Annelids.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CatMuff help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. When I needed a robust and secure home business computer network for my radio show, I hired QPG.us. QPG.us did a great job with a complex custom setup and did it remotely over the internet. Whether you have one computer or 1,000, QPG.us can set up your small business network, no matter where in the world you live, fast and at a reasonable price. QPG.us is a liberty-loving company that can also help you with networking, domain name registration, DNS, email, SSL, VPNs, and more. That's QPG.us.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Freedom Fiends. It's Michael Dean talking to Bill Buford from ZeroGov.com. And Bill had strong, baffling words in the first half hour. I just want to get to what the redemption in the third act on it is. So, and then I want to get on to Bill on why he doesn't vote. And I'm going to play devil's advocate on that. I don't vote either, but I'm going to be play acting and giving all the arguments that people give of why you should vote. That should be fun. And then we're going to play some libertarians against humanity card game and explain some principles of liberty. I'm really looking forward to doing this with Bill more than anybody, because Bill is so dead on at explaining the basic concepts of liberty. Okay, so Bill, what's the bottom line in what you said about Ebola and governments in the first part?
When it comes to protecting yourself against pandemics, never trust the government to have your interest in mind when they are doing what they are doing. They will protect themselves first and foremost, and they will do at the expense of an entire population if they have to, because that's the way bureaucracies work. You know what I explained in the first half hour? All you need to know about the CDC, besides the fact that they don't know what they're talking about, is that they gave that woman permission to fly because she only had a mild fever. So they said, yeah. Oh, apparently she doesn't meet the standards. So, you know, to me, I'd be more, I think, radical about what I do. But if I owned an airline, I would stop flying from Africa, period.
Huh.
If I owned an airline.
That does not sound radical to me. Explain why.
Because disease vectors travel via transportation networks. That's how they spread. That's how they become pandemics. But what makes viruses and diseases like this so deadly is that you may be symptomatic, but you are not apparently symptomatic until 24, 48, 72, 96 hours, whatever that stage is, where it's apparent to everybody around you, including yourself, that you've got something. By that time, depending on its communicability, you have communicated that to a large number of people through the transportation nexus in 21st century, on 21st century planet Earth.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm more afraid of like my city council than I am of Ebola.
Well, me too. And they are, you know, your city council is a form of Ebola.
So, well, it is a self
much more communicable and deadly.
It is a self-replicating destructive thing that replaces itself and replicates itself with identical units. So it is like a virus in that sense, for sure. Yeah. Oh, I want to correct Indeed. A mistake I made last night. I was talking last night about, and I've been doing this more and more. I've been listening to our shows, and I do realize that I make a mistake in speaking once in a while. It's usually something minor, but it's worth being honest enough with our listeners to point it out when I do it. And this is a teaching hospital where we teach people how to do better radio. So I said last night something. I was talking about conservatives who say that they're small government, but want to be big government with things that they think will get them reelected. And I was talking about how there are politicians in Wyoming that are pushing for a tax on the internet, which is basically, you know, when you order something through the mail, if it's from another state, there's no state tax on it. No sales tax, not income tax, sales tax. And they want to add a sales tax on – some people want to add a sales tax on internet purchases across state lines, which is never how it's been done. You've never had to pay sales tax on things across state lines. And I made a mistake saying that it was state reps who want to do that. But it was actually I was thinking this, but I called them state reps. It's actually the U.S. senators from Wyoming, Mike Enzi and John Barrasso, who are considered some of the smallest government, small government Republicans. But they want to add tariffs and make things cost more to protect brick and mortar stores in this, you know, protectionism, basically in a situation where most of what I order cannot be bought in a store in Wyoming because it's esoteric electronic gear for radio broadcasting and there aren't enough people here for there to be a store that sells that kind of stuff. So that's it. So speaking of politicians, before we go on to why not vote, do you have any more on Ebola?
No, because people are going to spend the next few weeks talking about that. They're going to hear all kinds of noise in the government media education complex and now of course, the CDC is going to come up with their nonsense. I just urge everybody to practice a very healthy amount of skepticism when it comes to the government. If the government is talking and its mandibles are moving, most likely it is deceiving you in one fashion or another.
Yeah, what is it they say? The government breaks your leg and then gives you a crutch and says without them, you wouldn't be able to walk.
I couldn't say it better.
All right, so we're going to do the little radio play here, kind of like an old-timey radio play, eh? With no sound effects, but you're going to play yourself and explain why you don't vote and you think that liberty-loving people should not vote. And I'm going to play a small government person who says, but we have to vote. And I'm going to give you every trope I've heard from those people, and you can lovingly debunk it. And we're doing it in this way, in a loving way with a radio play, instead of just yelling into the microphone and saying, you're wrong if you vote, because we realize that statism is a disease and it is the love of the state, the belief that, whether you're a liberal believing that the government should be as big as possible because, you know, only the government can solve things, or whether you're a small government Republican, which is more likely if you're listening to conservative talk radio, those folks, and I used to be one. I think Bill used to be one at one point. Didn't you, Bill?
I was.
Yeah. It's a disease, and people aren't really responsible for a disease. It's something that you're infected with. You're infected by government schools and by the media and by everything you hear all the time, the horizontal enforcement from your neighbors. And so we're going to talk lovingly to the sufferers of this disease. We're not going to speak down. We're not going to shun you and put you into a hut on the edge of the community. We're going to lovingly sit across the table and talk to you like a friend and say, look, you got a problem and here's the problem. So Bill, why don't you vote?
Well, I used to vote. I don't vote for a number of reasons. I'm an abolitionist, which is a term that I use instead of the word anarchist because I'm opposed to all forms of human slavery. And what I think voting does is that when somebody steps into that booth, and this is voting, by the way, let me clarify, let me be clear, like the first flatulence would tell us in the Awful Office, that what happens is when I vote as a stockholder or a board member in a private corporation, I'm all about that because no one has held a gun to my head or threatens to do so by me acting privately by consent and contract with others who have done the very same thing. I'm talking about voting in any government election, whether it's for dog catcher or president or galactic emperor, whatever the case may be. When you pull that lever, what you're doing is you are signaling your approval of a system that uses violence, whether the threat thereof or the actual use thereof, through police forces, the military, taxation, whatever case may be, when you pull that lever, you are saying, I hereby approve this message, quite literally, that I am going to activate my proxies, the government, to act on my behalf, to go into my neighbor's house and do whatever I want them to do, go into my neighbor's car, go into my neighbor's pocket. In other words, I consider my neighbor my property when I pull that lever.
Yeah. And one problem that I see is that a lot of people are not consistent with their beliefs. A really good example, Fox News today is ranting about something that I would rant about that I think is immoral, which is that the newly elected lesbian mayor of Houston, I got no problem with them electing a lesbian mayor. I have a problem with there being a mayor, but I don't care who it is. I don't care that they put a lesbian in there. She has basically passed hate speech laws in that town that say, if you say anything against homosexuals, we're going to come after you. I don't think there should be any illegal speech unless it's slanderous against somebody and saying something that's not true. I don't think that.
But you know, blackmail, for instance, is a non-crime.
That's a whole nother. That's a whole nother episode.
But blackmail is a form of speech. But I get exactly what you're saying. And are we talking about where they want to subpoena sermons that are conducted in churches?
Yeah. Yeah,
that just astonishes me.
Yeah, that's horrible, and I can't believe they're doing it. It absolutely would violate the First Amendment of the United States, and actually, it would violate there have been existing court rulings where people have tried to stop a newspaper from publishing something that was speech that could be banned, that was slanderous, let's say. The thing is, you can't ban that kind of speech legally. You can only prosecute it afterwards. And prosecuting it is illegal anyway. But basically, they are acting like Hitler. These progressive lesbian liberal politicians in Houston, I don't know if the other people going along with it are lesbian. That's neither here nor there. But this lady is this woman is basically acting like Hitler. She is demanding that all speech said in a private setting be run by her her Gestapo, her word police, before the words are uttered in public.
May I suggest that not only is she not acting necessarily like Hitler, she's acting like every American politician does with the hubris of their office. Because when you think about it, hate crimes, that's a thought crime. When they shut down magazines such as High Times, things like that, and go after them because they're talking about paraphernalia or drug use or anything like that. When you start doing that kind of thing, whether somebody is actually speaking the words or not, what you're attacking is thoughts. That's what it all comes down to. And that's very Orwellian.
And what I was getting at is that, the people at Fox News and the people that listen to Fox News are right and correct to be very upset about this mayor. She's doing something immoral. However, those same people, I've heard a lot of those same people be inconsistent because they want to ban certain types of speech. They want to ban certain types of images. They want to ban certain acts like burning a flag or burning a Bible or, saying bad things about religion in public. Basically, if you adamantly take a stand, you have to take it on everything, and you have to defend the undefendable. You have to defend people who you disagree with, and that's what liberty is.
And that's what Clarence Darrow did, for instance, with the Scopes Monkey trial and things like that. And you're absolutely right.
Go ahead, Bill.
I would point out banned books in America. If you want a banned book in America, you can get it off Amazon.
We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new Causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile Liberty project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbrich Legal Defense Fund, or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality Liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. Causes.shinybadges.com.
Ross Ulbricht was arrested by the FBI in 2013 and charged with victimless crimes in relation to allegedly operating the Bitcoin-based Silk Road black market. He has been in a prison cell awaiting trial ever since. If he did it, he's a hero for making the black market a safer place. If he did not, he's a man wrongfully accused. Either way, if you love freedom and want to end the war on drugs, Ross and his family need your support. You can learn more and help fund his defense at FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
All right. Freedom Fiends. It's Michael Dean talking to Bill Buford from ZeroGov.com. So, Bill, in the next 5 minutes, why don't you vote?
Well, I don't vote because I don't have a preference for evil. You've often heard people say, well, I vote for the lesser of two evils, which means that you've established a preference for evil. I don't vote because I consider it to be a serial killer beauty contest where you're literally saying, you know, that guy murdered 14 and that one murdered 17. Therefore, I am morally superior to you because I'm voting for the guy who murdered 14 people instead of 17. I don't vote because it is a proxy for violence. I don't vote because I think that you are legitimizing a system by pulling that lever, by getting registered to do it, by doing all of those things that practices the formation of societies through the initiation and use of violence and force. That thinks that thugs need to be in charge to make slap everybody else around to make them behave in a civilized fashion. You know what it all comes down to, Michael, is it comes down to because you're frightened of a few bad people, you want to take the worst people in society and put them in charge of every facet of your life to protect you from a few bad people. Now, how illogical, fallacious, and silly is that?
Yeah. I came up with three good reasons not to vote. One is the reason you're speaking of you're just encouraging evil. The second one is, how's it going for you? You know, I mean,
how's that working out?
Yeah. I look at every argument from both the moral philosophy of it and also the tactical philosophy of it. And, to anybody who thinks that voting in a republic, which is basically voting for people to vote for you, and people love to say America's not a democracy, it's a republic. Well, the Soviet Union is a republic. North Korea is a republic. Iran is a republic. A republic is not in and of itself.
And they all vote, by the way, Michael.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that instead we should have direct democracy. That could be worse. I think that a republic is better because it works more slowly. But yeah, there's no inherent fact of beauty in saying America's not a democracy, it's a republic. People say that like they're correcting something I don't know. I've spent a day today of dealing with idiots, and they're not even evil idiots. Just I go on the internet and we have a lot of inside jokes that kind of require a bit of knowledge, and people who don't get them come onto the Freedom Fiends page and start yelling at me or complaining or saying this or that. And it's like, they don't even get the realm we're operating in, which is why we're going to spend the whole second hour here explaining basic concepts. But, you know, like, I hate Che Guevara. I think he was one of the worst people in history. I can't believe people put him on their t-shirts, but we made an image the other day that had one of our co-hosts in the style of those t-shirts of that picture of Che Guevara with a very anti-Che comment underneath him, something that Davi Barker said on the show. And we all thought it was really funny. Did you see it?
I didn't see that, but I'll take a look at it.
Yeah. And I just had like people who don't understand the Fiend's sense of humor just jumping on our page, people I'd never talked to before, saying, why do you have a picture of Che? Don't you know that Che was a murderer? And I'm like, ugh, go away. The other ironic thing about Che is he was very against consumer culture and would not have liked t-shirts. You know, he wouldn't have liked any t-shirt that had any image on it being sold as a trend.
He hated rock musicians and rock music and put people in jail for it in concentration camps and killed people for it.
He also killed homosexuals.
Yes, he did. Yep. That looks amazingly like Davi, that picture you were talking about.
Oh, you found it?
I did.
Yeah. Well, you found the Davi picture or the
Davi picture and Shea drag.
Yeah. Well, it's basically, you know, just a monochromatic rendering, tracing of Davi's face with Shea's hair and hat. But we replaced the little commie star on the hat with a V for voluntarism, which is basically the opposite of communism.
In the appropriate colors, of course.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, if you're thinking about voting, you got to look at the two things. One is you are by proxy committing murder. You are murdering your neighbors. You're throwing your neighbors in a cage. The second thing is, you know, how's that working out for you? The third thing, I forgot to mention the third thing, is all politicians lie all the time. And whatever you're voting for them to do, they are not going to do. What do you think of that, Bill?
I think you are 100% correct, and we are in agreement, sir.
Cool. We'll be back hour two to play some Libertarians Against Humanity for as long as we can stand it. And we will comment on each card that comes up and explain the basic concepts in it. Because a lot of this is, y'all might like a lot of this, but it might be new to you.
Excellent.
Worms.
Annelids.
Annelids. Thank you for your wormness.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. I am Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and the other Freedom Fiend on the other end of the inner tubes is Bill Bupert from ZeroGov.com, and he is a retired Army officer and an expert in asymmetrical warfare, and I love saying that. And we're not even going to talk about that stuff. I just love giving his bona fides. So we are going. Are you there, Bill? Have you been contacted by the government?
I'm right here, and I get contacted by the government on a daily basis, and it does make me very nervous every time.
Yep. So we're going to play this game called Libertarians Against Humanity. You can play the home board version by going to freedomfiends.com/LOL. And this is something we do when we get a new station. For a few days, we will spend some segment of each show playing this. Basically, it's a game we like to play, but we're playing it with y'all over the radio because it's really good for explaining both basic concepts of liberty and also inside jokes that you may hear us talk about down the line. So it's kind of a quick introduction or indoctrination, if you will, to the Freedom Fiends philosophy and the philosophy of libertarianism and voluntarism. And what's your word for it, Bill? The slave one?
Abolitionism.
Abolitionism in general. All right. So there's a card game that all the kids are playing. It's called Cards Against Humanity. And the phrase is a takeoff on the phrase Crimes Against Humanity. It's kind of a party game, kind of like apples to apples, if you've ever played that card game, but for malcontents and ne'er-do-wells. And, you know, it's kind of a drinking game. We're not drinking. You know, you can't drink on the air, Bill. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Does the FCC make that illegal?
Yep.
Amazing.
I don't
know how Adam Carolla gets away with it.
Isn't he just on the internet? Or is he on the, he's on the radio. Yeah. All right. So my friend Jim made this deck, an expansion deck, it's called, of Cards Against Humanity. It is an open source game licensed with a license called Creative Commons Non-Commercial, which means you can make your own versions of it. And he made a version of it that's an expansion deck with a lot of libertarian in-jokes. And I helped write some of these, and Daryl Perry and my wife DJ and a few other people helped with these. So if you go to freedomfiends.com/LOL, you can play the game. You just hit the play. This is the solitaire version. You just hit play, and things come up that are funny to us. They may not be funny to you because you don't get the in-jokes, but we're going to explain them. So what's your first one? Go ahead and play, Bill.
Instead of the gold standard, I propose our currency be tied to a pocket constitution.
Okay, well, there's two concepts to explain there. Actually, those concepts are both probably not unusual to the average listener of talk radio. They know what the gold standard is. They know the concept of it being better than the standard of government just printing paper, and they probably have a constitution. But why is any of that funny to us?
Well, it's funny to us because what the government has done with banking in America is they've legalized theft, and they have taken this concept of a cartel and said that we are going to establish a monopoly because only government can establish monopolies because governments erect legal barriers to competition, because in a free market, monopolies cannot exist because of competition and profit motives.
Yeah, and we do agree. I agree that a gold-backed paper currency would be better than a backed with nothing but voodoo and words and politics currency we have now. But I think that that's kind of taking it to a half measure of saying that, first of all, governments should even print anything. And second of all, that things have to be backed with something in particular, because the term fiat, as in fiat currency, most people don't know this. It actually has three meanings, and not all of them are necessarily negative. Do you know what any of the three meanings are, Bill?
Fiat means a promissory note or a specie in lieu of, which means basically that it's not backed by anything but what the government designates its value to be.
Yep. So fiat can have three different meanings off of that. One is something declared by the king or by a government. Fiat means of faith, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So a fiat
and bad cars.
And bad cars. Bad, very expensive cars. So a fiat currency, is bad if it's just decreed into existence by the king or the pope or the president or the Federal Reserve. Fiat can also mean not backed by anything. Now, some would argue that Bitcoin isn't really backed by anything other than the electricity and time and computing power it takes to make it, which is kind of an ephemeral thing compared to gold. But I think Bitcoin has a lot of utility, and I use it. And do you use it, or you don't want to say?
You know, I don't use it, but my oldest son uses it, and he's been sort of taking the old man by the hand and guiding him in the arcane ways of Bitcoin.
Yeah, Bitcoin is not fiat in the first sense. It is not decreed into existence by some great man or organization or government, and it is literally currency that is accepted by hundreds of online realtors and online resellers. Through gift.com, GYFT.com, you can change Bitcoin into like Amazon gift certificates and buy stuff on Amazon. I've done that. And a lot of other retailers take gift, are signed up with
sure.
gift.com. So you can actually use it like money.
Can I mention two things here, if I may,
yeah.
Michael, since we're on this whole thing about economic gold standard? Here's how I've home educated our children. Here's how I explain inflation to them, for those in the audience who are wondering, what the heck is that? Inflation is, I give you a full glass of orange juice, you drink half of it, you say you want more, I put water in it. You drink that full glass of orange juice, and you drink it to one quarter of the way, and you say, I want more orange juice, I put water in it. By the time it is only water and not orange juice, that is inflation, and that's how it affects how fiat currencies fail over the long term. And that's connected to another concept, which is that we are all suffering under the fourth Federal Reserve regime, which has fractional reserve banking, which is all, this is all it is. It means that Michael owns the bank, Michael Dean Fidelity Trust. And for every dollar he has, he can lend out $10. What that means is that I run a grocery store and I have 10 people who come in for a loaf of bread. I give one loaf of bread to 10 people and I tell the other 9 people, I've got a loaf of bread for you, but you can't take it home, but you can buy it right now if you want. That's the distinction.
Yeah, that's
and you couldn't connected. Get away with that.
That's that leads to the third definition of fiat, which is, you know, the first one being state issued money or declared by someone into existence. This the second one is something that's not backed by anything in particular. The third thing is kind of a combination of the two. It's state issued money, which is neither convertible by law to any other thing nor fixed in value in terms of any objective standard. And U.S. money used to be backed by gold and silver, and it literally said on the money, redeemable for gold or silver. If it was gold note or silver note, and you could take it to a bank, and if they had silver on hand, they were supposed to give it to you. I don't know if that ever worked. Did it?
Oh, I'm certain that it did, because there was silver and gold everywhere until Red D.R. made it illegal in 1934, I think.
Yeah, FDR. Yep. Yeah. The great communist polio haver. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Awful.
Awful.
Well,
awful
he put the OFFAL in the awful office.
All right. So, and the second part of that joke, pocket constitution, is a lot of small government people carry a pocket constitution and they like to take it out and wave it at people. But if they actually ever read it, they'd realize that while yes, the Bill of Rights does allegedly offer some protection to citizens, which is usually ignored, the rest of that document basically sets up the federal government as it is now.
It puts a gun in the hands of the national state, and I would urge everybody to read my second-to-last Lou Rockwell post on why the Constitution was an engine for big government and not what they're taught in the schools.
So now that we've explained a whole bunch of basic concepts of liberty, let's read that one again and see if people laugh. What is it?
Let's do that. It reads, instead of the gold standard, I propose our currency be tied to a pocket constitution.
Yep. Okay. So, and again, this is taking one from column A and randomly combining it with one from column B. So the second one here that I've got is the market could easily provide government guns. That's funny.
And of course it does, because we are thieved through two ways. Well, actually three ways. We're thieved by the taxes that we pay now, by the debt that is incurred upon our unborn children and grandchildren, and by something that's called funded debt. What funded debt is, and this was originated in the 16th, 17th, and 18th century, used by the English to expand their empires, where I go to Michael Dean Fidelity Trust and I say, hey, you've got $1 million in the bank, £1 million, whatever the case may be, call it what you wish. I want to take that from you as the principal for a loan I'm going to offer. And here's the two things I'm going to do. I will pay you your interest that we agree to on time and in the species that you select for eternity, but you'll never be able to touch the principal again. Those are the three primary ways that government thieves from the tax cattle in its jurisdiction.
Well, also the fact that banks lend out far more money than they have on hand.
Yeah, isn't it funny the way what they can call assets and liabilities are completely reversed in the private sector?
Yep. So the market could easily provide government guns. Why this is funny is libertarians are often fond – we are fond of saying the market could easily provide and then fill it in with anything that the government claims they need a monopoly to do. The market could easily provide defense of a town or a nation. The market could easily provide clean water. The market could easily provide taking care of the abandoned elderly with no family who can't work. That's all true.
But the roads.
The market could really easily provide roads, and they do in a lot of places, and do it better than the government. So the term government guns here, and the market could easily provide government guns. The free market, the real market, would not provide government guns because there would not be a government. So the concept government guns is very important to understanding libertarianism, because we talk a lot about the non-aggression principle, which is basically the golden rule, but even no violations of the golden rule by proxy. Do unto others, don't aggress on people. And most people will say, yeah, I don't do that, but I vote and I support politics because you gotta. But when you're supporting politics, you are supporting aggression of others by proxy. And that is provided by what I call the aggression principle, which is the opposite of the non-aggression principle, which is the concept that every law and every tax is backed by the threat of a gun, which is something that Lysander Spooner first said. It's basically the idea that if you don't obey a law, even a nanny law, even if you have your hedge 5 inches taller than you're allowed to have it, you'll get a note in your mailbox, or, you know, when you get pulled over by a cop, if you don't comply, it will escalate to the point of the cop pointing a gun to your head and either taking you away and putting you in a cage or shooting you. So The market could easily provide government guns is funny to us because it's the opposite of what's true. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the real market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Libertarians Against Humanity. That's what we're playing. So I just pulled up, who will build the Christopher Cantwell? Which part of this do you want to explain?
I'm going to let you explain Cantwell, and then I'll explain the first part of that illusion.
Do it first. Who will build the... Who says that, and what do they say it about?
They say, who will build the roads? Or in my best Will Ferrell imitation, but, if we don't have slaves, who will make our food, and who will pick our cotton, and who will build the roads?
Yep. Who will build the roads is, you know what? They actually teach that in public school now. I asked somebody who's 15 and in public school. I figured they must, because I've heard so many people who've never met each other say that to me when I say, I think we could get by without leaders and without government corruption and without being forced at the barrel of a gun to do what 51% of the people want to do. And they teach that in school now, man. Who will build the roads? If you don't want a government, move to Somalia, which is ridiculous. Why, Bill?
Well, it's ridiculous because Somalia is run by warlords who have assumed the government in and of themselves. The only reason that the UN doesn't like them is they don't attend the UN in New York.
Well, aren't they also largely armed by the United States military?
Well, among others. I mean, because they have a large variety of weapons that they've gotten from all over Africa, because all the colonial empires, to include Russia and the U.S., were down there using proxy third world conflicts to advance in the Cold War.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, who will build the Christopher Cantwell? Okay, Christopher Cantwell is a minor libertarian rock star. I don't mean he's a musician. Libertarian rock star is my term for libertarians who people know their name and they have a large,
like Michael Dean,
fan base. Now, I am maintaining my amateur status so I can compete in the Olympics. I don't try to make a living at this show. I do try to cover expenses, and this is a good place for me to say, this show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference.
Can you tell our new audience what a fiend is?
Fiend. It's a fiend. Fiend, F-E-E-N, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra is street speak or little kid speak for fiend. So we're a teaching hospital also, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. I'm actually going to have Diana read that, but I just wrote it tonight and wanted to try it out. So
you should. That would sound very good in a feminine register.
In a feminine southern register. She has indeed that Carolina accent. Okay, so Christopher Cantwell is a guy a lot of people know. He's a blogger. He makes videos. He's now a co-host on Free Talk Live one day a week. And I used to really not like the guy, but I think he's getting better. I think he's getting his love bombing daily from living across the street from Ian Freeman. And I tend to shun people who are act idiotic, but Ian Freeman tends to take them in and love them until they can love themselves. And he's been really nice to Chris, and I think it's changing. And Chris is actually a really smart guy, and I think he may end up being, believe it or not, from everything I've said before, I think Chris Cantwell may end up in the next 6 months or a year being an asset to the Liberty movement. There, I said it.
Well, you did just say that. And going back to who will build the roads, the number of private entities that are out there that build roads is considerable, even in the United States. Up until the early 20th century, all roads, excepting railroads in these United States, were privately owned, privately held roads.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at America, for instance, right now, I think there's something like 2,200 privately owned highway bridges in 41 states.
And they're probably better maintained than the public ones, which is, you know, a part of the reason for that is because governments don't do things efficiently. They do things rewarding people who have rewarded the government. So a lot of times when a bridge contract is due, they don't sell it. They don't give the contract to the cheapest, best contractor. They give it to like the brother-in-law of the sheriff who's going to charge more and do a worse job, things like that.
They put the rot in the spoil system.
Yeah, even – and there are a lot of cases where literally the mafia is building the roads for the government. But when it's not the mafia, it's a mafia. All right. So what's your next result here on Libertarians Against Humanity Solitaire?
That would be one time at Porkfest, I smoked Bitcoin.
You can take both of those.
For those of you who don't know what Porkfest is, Porcupine Festival is held in New Hampshire once a year, usually in June, July.
Yep. And I wanted to talk a little bit about what were the two kinds of people we were talking about before? Extroverts and introverts. Chris Cantwell is an extrovert. Most of the fiends are introverts. But if you want to see Bill speak to 400 people and mesmerize them, go to Porkfest.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah. Here we go. Yeah. The thing about Che Guevara, when your kids come home wearing a Che Guevara shirt, all you have to really tell them is Che Guevara would kill you. Because most people who wear Che Guevara shirts, Che Guevara would kill. Because he murdered like rock musicians, jazz musicians, homosexuals, bourgeoisie, which are most people who wear the shirt, you know, middle class, entitled
hipsters.
Yeah, he killed him. He murdered him. So when your kid comes home wearing a Che shirt, you don't need to quote the facts to him. The details of the facts. The only fact you need to say is, you know, Che would kill you, because it's probably true for most people wearing a Che Guevara t-shirt. But yeah,
those who want to know more about Che, get a book by Umberto Fontova on Che.
Yep. All right. So we're going to play some more Libertarians Against Humanity. And then in the last segment, in the redemption in the third act, we're going to talk about the difference between introverts and extroverts. And it doesn't necessarily mean if you're introverted, it doesn't necessarily mean you're a wallflower. Bill and I are introverts, and we can charm a crowd. We just choose to spend most of our time with the few people we like, which is the
That's
introvert
right.
way. I think that there's one Freedom Fiends co-host out of our 12 co-hosts. I think Derek J is the only extrovert.
I would agree with that.
All right, let's play some more Libertarians Against Humanity now that I've set up the last segment. All right.
It's your turn.
The Ethics of Liberty by Murray Rothbard says the law may not forbid the free market. That's pretty funny because it's true. These are usually either funny because they're really, really true or really, really not true. Now, tell us about Murray Rothbard.
You know, Murray Rothbard, he's the one who came up with, I wouldn't say came up with, he invented the modern variation of the NAPZAP, which is the zero aggression principle, the non-aggression principle, where he says that the basic building block of a society should be peace, cooperation, persuasion, and any number of ways to form that society without the use of violence. Zero aggression principle means you're not a pacifist, but murder begins where self-defense ends, so that if you are aggressed against, you have the right to defend yourself, but not beyond proportionality of the offense that's levied against you by aggression.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about peace on this show, and for people who are new to this show, we're not hippies. We carry guns. Maybe we're hippies with guns, but
we're hippies with guns.
We're peace-loving guys. You so don't look like a hippie. If you met Bill, okay, there are 12 co-hosts on the Freedom Fiends, and most of us are kind of ne'er-do-wells. We're cool ne'er-do-wells and really smart and productive, but three of the co-hosts are what I would call gentlemen, and Bill is one of the gentlemen. Bill physically, he's a silver-haired, middle-aged guy who looks like and probably could rip out your heart and show it to you before you die. But yeah, Bill and Randy England, who's an attorney, and Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, who is a Quaker. You three are gentlemen. I'm just a cur.
Well, I you're very kind about that. And Rothbard was probably the most singular intellectual influence on why I'm where I'm at today, and I'm happy to be there, and why I can never go home again. Because once you've arrived at this position of being opposed to all human slavery, being in favor of peace, and being in favor of forming society not on violence, but on cooperation and kindness and peaceful interaction with others, that's where true harmonic community comes from. I mean, you know what capitalism is when it all comes down to it? I think Rothbard would appreciate this. Capitalism is the system by which perfect strangers can do commerce together without coming to blows.
There you go. And along the lines of we're not hippies, Bill is a peace-loving gentleman, but he carries a gun. I carry a gun.
And I'm carrying one right now.
Yeah, I'm sitting down, so I have one. I have two within arm's reach and a loaded rifle within four steps. But Bill is not just your casual gun carrier. Bill can also shoot a dinner plate with a battle rifle at 700 or 800 yards, right?
Well, with practice.
With practice, which means if you went out and zeroed it for an hour, if you got back up, yeah.
My BZO is good, though.
And, you know, libertarianism is not rocket science, but riflemanship is literally rocket science.
It is literally rocket, especially when you're trying to shoot something beyond 800 meters, because that's where, as Boston Tea Party would inform us in Boston's Gun Bible, you know, that's where you get the top 100% of shooters who can shoot at 50 yards with a rifle. Then up to 600 yards, you get 50% of shooters. 800 yards is a real cutting point for 1 out of 100 shooters, 1 out of 1,000 shooters who can do the doping, who can do the mechanical ballistics, who can do the calculations, who can do all the intuitive things it takes to deliver a very small projectile on a parabola from the end of your rifle to a 2,500 meter target.
Wow. And there is some rocket science in there. At that distance, it involves calculations that are beyond the wind at various points and the weight of the bullet and the charge. I mean, you get into the spin of the earth, don't you?
Oh, it does indeed, but we have these great capitalist products like Kestrels, which are portable weather stations. We have logs that we can use. We have very, very advanced rifle technology, ammunition characteristics that put the 19th century to shame. So everything's at our disposal so that we can take our effective range of defense and go out from zero, where we move out a meter from our chest and put our hand against another man's chest, all the way out to that magic mark at 2,500 meters where you can ruin a person's day.
And that's the magic of science and of technology, is that we stand on the shoulders of giants in true capitalism, in the sense that when things are not kept secret, when there are not trade secrets, when there's not mucking around with the government in the literal fascism of making deals with the government for protectionism. All of the information of mankind is available for new products and services to be developed. Like literally, if everything ran under intellectual property, all those ballistic tables would be copyrighted and no one would be able to use them without paying. And you'd have to go reinvent all that math to come up with something like that. But since they're all publicly published and available, you can go find them and build from there. And that's one of the beauties of the free market.
It certainly is. And especially, you were alluding to this earlier, Michael, the free market exists in communist economies. It's what kept the USSR afloat.
It's the black market.
For 60 odd years. It's the black market, the underground economy, the gray economy, because government simply can't deliver, because government doesn't produce anything unless it points a gun at somebody's head or a group of people and says, work.
And I say this to anybody who is listening, who's a gun lover, who believes that all laws should be obeyed no matter what, and because they're laws, or because democracy, or because 51% of the people said something, or because a politician said it. Are you still going to feel that way when they try to take your guns? When your guns are outlawed, and actually most people who are bayonet polishers who say, I'll die with my guns in my hand, will actually turn them in. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that 100%. You know, we look how tyrannical America is, yet it has such a high density population of both guns and gun users. Yet the road to tyranny continues apace in a way that would make Brezhnev blush.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's what they've mastered is making the tyranny invisible. You know, when the KGB was going around spying on people, you know, you could see if someone's looking in your window, or you could tell if you came home and your lock had been jimmied and somebody'd rustled through your papers. But now it's invisible. And another thing to remember is that the last two presidents, the skunk Obama, who is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink, and the skunk George W. Bush, who the same adjectives apply. Those two, since 9/11, since the Patriot Act, the so-called Patriot Act, which I call the Jail All the Patriots Act. You haven't heard that one?
I have not.
It's a good name for it. The Jail All the Patriots Act. Basically, the United States government and state governments and even local governments and police at this point are all on a daily basis, as part of their mission statement, openly admitting in a lot of cases that they are doing spying on every single citizen that is more intrusive than what Richard Nixon was forced to resign the presidency for doing to about a half dozen people.
Gosh, I just think that's a splendid example, and shows you that that transparency today in this America goes in one direction only, and that's from the government to the citizens, because the citizens have no idea whatsoever what's happening in this secret society and this deep state that the Washington Post talked about in America Today.
Yeah. Not saying Nixon was good, and I want to get back to when America was good and Nixon was in office. He was horrible. He created the EPA, the ERA, took us finally fully off the gold standard.
And DEA.
And yeah, he kind of invented the war on drugs. I mean, pot and some drugs were illegal before then, but he was the one that uttered the phrase war on drugs, and created, you know, here's the thing. If you like guns like Bill and I, and you don't take drugs, which Bill and I don't, you should still be against the war on drugs, because when they legalized pot to get President Hillary elected, which is going to happen, and it's the Republicans' fault for being so against something for so many decades that shouldn't be anyone's business, for outlawing pot to the point where a tyrant can come in and soften the tyranny for a minute to get the reins to the tyranny by legalizing pot as an election promise and doing it. Or probably Obama will legalize pot right before the election to get Hillary elected, is my guess. But
he'd do it afterwards.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He's not very good on promises. He said he'd decriminalize it, and he laughed at someone in a town hall meeting shortly after being elected. But
well, he also said he'd get us out of the Middle East.
You know, when all those DEA agents are suddenly have nothing to do and they're twiddling their thumbs when pot's legal, they're not going to disband the DEA. They're going to send those people to take your guns. And the thing is, a lot of people say, I'll die on my boots. I'll die for my beliefs. I'll go out shooting. It'll be like Ruby Ridge. Well, first of all, you know, your kids and your family are going to get pulled into that and killed too. Secondly, they've gotten smarter and they're probably not going to come in your home where they know you're armed and shoot it out with you. They'll probably come into the dentist or the doctor's office when you're sitting there unarmed, you know, or even armed in the dentist's office and just walk into the room and grab you. And you're not going to have a chance to like react or shoot. And they're going to take the keys out of your pocket. They're going to handcuff you and they're going to go to your house and peacefully take your guns. And that's because you were in favor of the war on drugs, because they're totally mixed in with each other like flavor on rice, man.
You know, if anybody remembers anything from this 2 hours that you and I are together this evening, they should remember that the war on drugs is what has made every human transaction transparent to the government with no pretense needed other than reasonable, articulable suspicion or probable cause to do it on everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yep. Remember the book Moulin Labe starts with a pot stop by a cop pulling someone over who doesn't have any pot.
It does indeed.
And of course that leads to, is this a spoiler alert? Is it too soon? Wyoming getting a nuke and becoming a libertarian paradise. good times. All right. We'll be back with our redemption in the third act about introvert or extrovert. Which are you? Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by The Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Freedom Fiends, redemption in the third act. This is Michael Dean talking to Bill Buepert from ZeroGov.com. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how are you?
Good. You having a good time tonight?
I'm having a great time. I always have a fiendish time on the Fiends.
Yeah. Sometimes I have, no matter how bad of a day, and I had a good day today, but no matter how bad of a day I have, doing radio always puts me in a better mood. I always like it. And doing radio with you puts me in a better mood. And I haven't done radio with you in like 2 or 3 months because Derek J has been gracious enough to take over the Sunday night shows, because otherwise I have 2 shows in one day when we switch from daytime on the weekend to nighttime during the week. And he's doing those shows, and you got scheduled with him a bunch and you guys do well together. So yeah, man, I haven't talked to you in a long time. It's good.
Well, here we are. We're going to do it twice this week.
Yep, we're doing Saturday too. Saturday afternoon, same bat channel. If we're not on your local station, ask them to put us on. And on the weekends, and if we're not on and you want to listen, go to freedomfiends.com, or you can, and there's a couple links there. You can go to the GCN link, GCNlive.com link, or the LRN.fm link, and listen streaming live or listen to our podcast later. So we're going to talk about the difference between introverts and extroverts and why introverts are better.
Introverts are smarter.
Give me a little
because they're more reflective and contemplative.
Give me a little quick definition of each, like a almost dictionary definition.
An extrovert would be somebody who is gregarious, who enjoys being around people, and who identifies a lot of his own self-identity with his interactions and relationships with other people. Introverts tend to be a little more studied, maybe even scholarly, maybe even reserved, contemplative, reflective. They tend to be inveterate readers like myself, or listen to podcasts, those kind of things.
Yeah,
I think that would be the main difference between them.
Yeah, and I think there's a misunderstanding with people with the term introverts. I think they think it means you're a wallflower and you are afraid of people or human contact. That's absolutely not true. You can be an introvert and enjoy being around people, but you generally are pickier about the people you're around. An extrovert just wants to be the life of the party and gets their energy off of other people. An explanation I've heard is that. And then introverts have their own energy and only want to share it with people they think are worthy. So an extrovert will go to a party and always wants to be the center of attention and bases a lot of their self-worth on not necessarily whether people like them, but whether people are talking about them. Like some extroverts even like negative, you know, if someone hates them, it's better than being ignored. And I,
well, like
I don't,
Chris Cantwell.
I didn't say it. Yeah. And an introvert is more reflective, and I saw this cartoon that kind of said it well. An introvert basically travels around the world in a human-sized virtual hamster ball, and they will invite people into their hamster ball for certain amounts of time. But introverts also don't need constant attention. And my wife and I are both introverts, and a good night for us, a good Saturday night, isn't going out dancing. It's basically sitting at two separate computers doing things and occasionally talking to each other and sharing something we see or watching a...
Well, sure, because you recharge in your own company.
Yeah. And there's nowhere I'd rather be than doing that with her. And to most people, or to an extrovert, that would sound boring. Like, what? You want to sit and look at computer stuff? Oh, man.
It's interesting to me. You know, and I would urge your audience not only to look at the Myers-Briggs personality test to determine who they are, but to look at something that my daughter turned me on to called Enneagrams. And I discovered that the 9 Enneagrams are far more accurate in predicting, extrapolating, and describing what people's personality
types
are.
How do you spell that?
Enneagram would be Enneagram from the Greek word 9 and drawn.
All right, I'll link that. And I guess the reason I wanted to talk about this is actually reading this single cartoon, which I will also link in the show note, about how to deal with an introvert really gave me kind of like some calm, because I realized that some things, and this is pretty late in life to realize this at 50, but some things that are common in me that I thought were personality defects are actually just because I'm an introvert. And you know, I don't have any problems speaking in front of crowds. I'll do it on the drop of a hat, but I prefer to not be around crowds. I don't want to go out and dance on a Saturday night, things like that. And, you know, I think there's more to life than that. And one type is not better than another, although I think introverts tend to be smarter in general. But, yeah, there's exceptions in both directions. But if you're an introvert, feel good about it, and it's okay. That's what we're saying. Thanks, Bill, for coming on. It's been a really good show. I'm looking forward to Saturday.
Annelids.
Worms. Go to the Freedom Fiends glossary if you don't know what worms means.